According to one well-known Israeli biblical scholar, the Bible made a mistake. And because it made that mistake, it proves how faithful the Israelites really are. Let me explain. The scholar's name was Yechezkel Kaufman. And he was, at the beginning of the State of Israel, probably the leading Bible scholar in all of Israel. And he wrote a book, part of which was translated into English by Moshe Greenberg, another scholar of Bible in Israel. And in it, among many other things, Kaufman says the following. He says, the Bible doesn't understand idolatry. It talks about idolatry a lot, but it doesn't really understand what idolatry is. Because if you read the Bible, it says, don't worship stones, don't worship wood. The psalmist says they have eyes, but they don't see. Right? Remember the story about Abraham, which is from the Midrash, that he breaks his father's idols, and when his father says to him, what happened here? He says, well, they got in a fight. His father says, what do you mean they got in a fight? They're made out of wood and stone. And Abraham says, then why do you worship them? That's the kind of idolatry, says Kaufman, that you read about in the Bible, but actually, that's not what idolatry was. He says, no pagan was foolish enough to think that all of a sudden this was a god. Pagans understood that wood was wood and stone was stone. They weren't stupid, they were just pagans. Instead, idolatry, real idolatry, true idolatry, was the worship of natural forces that were represented by wood and stone. You weren't worshiping the idol, you were worshiping the winds, or the heavens, or the light, and those forces were represented by the idols that you bowed down to. So you see, true idolatry, says Kaufman, wasn't what the Israelites thought it was, which proves that the Israelites really weren't idol worshipers. They didn't even understand what idolatry was. They were so enamored, they were so in love with the idea of one God that they assumed idol worshipers were just foolish peasants who worshiped wood and stone. Now, biblical scholars disagree with Kaufman. Not everybody accepts that. But I'd like to put it in modern terms. Idolatry is not the worship of material. Idolatry is avatar. That's idolatry. Not the worship of the movie, but what is depicted in the movie. That's true idolatry. That is the worship of nature, the worship of natural forces, the sense that the tree is what you should pray to. Or the tree is in some sense divine. That's not, believe me, I enjoyed the movie too, right? I'm not here to bash Avatar. I thought it was a great movie-going experience, but as a religious idea, let's contrast Avatar with the holiday that occurs today, which is Tu Bishvat. No Jew worships a tree. No sane Jew worships a tree. We plant trees, we cultivate trees, we like trees, we make blessings on trees, but we don't pray to them because we understand that everything that is visible in this world has its origin in something that is not visible. That everything material has its birth in the world of the spirit. That behind the forest is not the God of the forest, but God. And that's why Jews are not what are called pantheists. Pantheists are people who worship nature, who pray to nature. And you can understand why. Because, first of all, nature can be incredibly powerful. In 35 seconds, Haiti was destroyed. 35 seconds. Nature can be unbelievably and painfully indifferent to human life, and in a second can overwhelm us. Just imagine the Israelites walking through the desert and seeing this enormous, vast, empty space that cared about them not at all. So you can understand why people would be afraid of nature, and you can understand why people would fall in love with nature. What is more beautiful than the beauties of nature? Whether you love the sea, or the mountains, or the forests, or the plains, or the desert, nature contains such beauty that art is always in some way a pale imitation of the true beauty of nature. And by the way, the beauty is not only in nature, in personal nature, not only in trees and forests and deserts, there's also beauty in the human face. Because we're part of nature as well. And so you understand the impulse to worship it, because it's frightening, it's overwhelming, and it's beautiful. And anything that reminds human beings of their smallness, of our dependence, of our fear, of our finitude, of the fact that we are final, anything like that evokes a sense of wonder and of awe. And so it is unsurprising that way back when, from the time of the Bible till today, human beings had this impulse to worship nature. But our tradition fights against that and insists that behind, above, shot through nature is something infinitely greater than nature, that nature is a product, not a source, that nature comes from. Hashamayim misaprim kavod el. When the psalmist looks up at the stars, what does he say? He says, the stars speak of the wonder of God, even though they have no words, even though they cannot speak. I understand God's wonder through the stars. And this is the religious position that Jews took when nature was terrible and awful and when it was beautiful and wonderful. When human beings were terrible and awful, and I say this to you, remember, on the week of the 65th liberation, 65th anniversary of the liberation of Auschwitz, which was the epicenter of evil in the modern world, the worst place that human beings ever created on earth. But still, Jews recognized that the reason it was evil is that it came from a society that worshipped power and not what stood behind it, that was driven by material and not by something spiritual, not by goodness, but by grandeur. And also when human beings are kind, also when they're good. We don't have any godlike people in our tradition because we don't worship people. We worship God. People are limited as nature is limited. Only God is infinite. So on this day, what we do is we turn to God with gratitude for the gifts we're given. And nature is a gift. It's a gift. And if you turn a gift into the source, if you think that because the natural world is beautiful, therefore it is everything, then you're making a very, very old mistake. The mistake that Kaufman said idolaters made thousands of years ago in the time of the Bible. The Philistines probably would have loved Avatar. had it been translated into their language. Because that is the pagan worldview, which is that all you have to worship in this world is the wonder and beauty of nature. But we know better. Nature is sometimes cruel and sometimes kind. But it isn't the source of spirit in this world. It's the product of spirit in this world. And so, we worship ultimately what we sang to before, the Eitz Chaim, the tree of life, which is actually not a tree. It's not a tree. It's God's word. Eitz Chaim hi l'machazikim ba. The Torah gives life to those who cling to it, because the Torah represents the progress of spirit through this material world, the finding of that which is greater than anything you can touch, anything you can taste, anything you can see. I hope that all of you will contribute to the wonder and the beauty of Tu Bishvat by planting a tree, by appreciating the beautiful natural world that we have been given, and surely this is a wonderful city in which to appreciate that world. But always remember not to worship the gift, but the giver. Not to think that what you see is the most important thing, but understand that behind what you see is the intangible presence of God. And it's because our ancestors, thousands of years ago, knew that, understood that, that we are still here today. By every material criteria, we should long since be gone. But the spirit that rolls through our realization, our history, and our people is something that you can't touch, something that will never disappear. The only thing that is infinite, the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One. Praise be God. Shabbat Shalom.